Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Great People TV. You're with me, Ben Ibrahim, and today we're talking about the key to branding your business and branding yourself, whether you're an employee or a small business entrepreneur or a big entrepreneur. And our guest today can answer all those questions because he's an entrepreneur educator and an entrepreneur himself. I'd like to welcome to Great People TV, Dr. AJ Minai. And while he's talking and introducing himself, I want you to go to his LinkedIn and have a look at his profile because it is absolutely amazing. When it comes to business, Dr. AJ Minai, or AJ, has done everything. But before we speak about everything, AJ, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excellent. Couldn't be better.
AJ, like I was saying to our viewers earlier, you've done everything when it comes to business. You've got a PhD in entrepreneurship. You studied in some of the best schools in the world when it comes to tech, IT and computer science, business. But you could have done anything and probably become that CMO, CEO, superstar C-level guy. But what made you go into the entrepreneurship space and also the entrepreneurship education space? Because everywhere I look, you're always giving a talk about entrepreneurship.
Wow, man, I wish we had more time, Ben, because I can speak on this topic for days. But I'm going to keep it as succinct and straight to the point as possible. Bottom line is, I think probably about a good part of almost a decade ago, I was sitting across the table from who is now currently my co-founder with me at a company that we built from the ground called Vision 77, which in essence is a contrast yet complementary to the startup space. And by that, we meant that we just had a lot of reservations with the way traditional VC works, traditional venture capitalist mindset works. And I think that's what brought me into being an entrepreneur and being also somewhat of a coach and a speaker on the topic. That's really a nutshell answer for you, Ben. I mean, obviously there's a lot more depth to it, but for the sake of making sure that the impact is upon the audience, I've just summarized.
No, I think it's really good that you summarize that because a lot of people think when it comes to business, they think the traditional venture capitalist, investor, getting a loan from a bank and all the above. But what you do, and because I've listened to some of your talks, which is why I've invited you on the show and thank you so much, is that you show everyone another way about it. And that another way about it is not so difficult. So, you know, so let's have that not so difficult conversation. Branding yourself and branding your business. Simple fundamentals, because at the end of the day, where people make some errors and mistakes is that they lack the fundamentals. They lack the simplicities. So can you tell us about the simplicities and the key core fundamentals when you want to brand yourself and when you want to brand your own business when you're first starting out or when you're trying to upscale?
Right. I think fundamentally, branding is down to what others say you are as opposed to what you say yourself as, you know what I mean? To be more coherent, I think we live in a world where we do have a bit of a conundrum. It is a bit of a dilemma. We live in a very intergenerationally active world. By that, I mean we have almost four generations in the workspace today, from the Gen Zs that are the youngest to Generation Ys to Gen Xs. And then, of course, you still have, I would say, a tail end of the baby boomers in the market, right? Who typically hold chairman positions, and we have an example here at you know in Malaysia as well of you know heads of states who are you know in their 90s as well. So I think fundamentally, like what we've uncovered in this new world that's very VUCA, it's very volatile. It's always changing, and with digital disruption at the helm, like for example, this year's theme has just exploded with generative AI. You've heard about ChatGPT, right? So branding is about you being more so a specialist today. There was a time before COVID where being a generalist was good enough. But now after COVID, I think what's happened is there's been an intrinsic move towards people relying more on their personal branding more than ever now, right? You know, before COVID, you would still come across a lot of CEOs, a lot of people in positions of power and influence who still weren't really into the content creation game. They still didn't know who Gary Vee was. They still had no idea where the future Andrew Tates were. You know what I mean? All of this narrative and all these influencers that are in the market today. But I think increasingly people have kind of come to agree what I've been saying for almost about 8 years now on stage, that people have become brands and brands have become people. And the faster leaders of organizations, heads of state, anybody who's anyone in an industry looking to stand out is now starting to understand that thought leadership is more important than ever. Sharing your stories, sharing how you learned from those stories, and then using those stories as a means to maximize your bottom line, to maximize the humanization of your own brand is key. And that's why a lot of people that ordinarily wouldn't be on LinkedIn posting are all of a sudden on LinkedIn posting now. That's why a lot of these guys that you would never imagine on TikTok all of a sudden are coming out of the woodwork, right? Because they have now started to understand that this model works, and it works much better than the traditional marketing playbook, which is about ATL and BTLs and advertising traditionally. It just doesn't work that way anymore. People want to connect to a person. They don't want to feel a corporate narrative pushed onto them. So there's no such thing as actually selling anymore, Ben. It's more you make people understand why they want to buy from you, right? And that comes through storytelling. And you already see my LinkedIn profile, bro. I positioned myself as a
storyteller. That's amazing. Like it's a TV. It's a TV state.
I'm sorry. I know that was a bit of a rant, Ben. Sorry, but I just wanted to get that point across.
It's 100%. I mean, whenever I watch your LinkedIn or, I mean, your social media, especially your LinkedIn, I feel it is like a TV network that gives great content. And I know I'm just going to tweak the questions a little bit based on what I've sent you, because you brought up a really, really interesting point. And I have this conversation all the time with corporate comm people who are a lot of my clients. I said, look, how do you brand your CEO, your CMO, your CTO, or that rising star in your company, that to show the whole wide world that this is a great place to work? It's like you said, it's not a narrative that is pushed with a script, because you can't do that anymore, because people will say, this is BS. Okay, this is, you know, so like we said, we want to see something real. So some people have that mindset. Okay, we need to get ourselves on social media. Let's start a TikTok account. Let's start a LinkedIn account. Let's start a public Facebook page. But you'll probably get 3 likes in a week. Okay, so where are the mistakes made there? And how can it be done better? Yes, they've started with a good first step by embracing social media. But how do you practice social media properly to tell those real stories?
I think this is probably the dark side of branding that, you know, your question has led me to actually share live here. And I think this is it's both a very unfortunate but fortunate time in the world today. The more controversial your stories are and the more out there your content is, I'm starting to see a pattern, particularly with the likes of, you know, you've got a lot of these new age influencers from Logan Paul to Luke Belmar to, you know, of course, the most censored man now on the internet, Andrew Tate. And these personalities have come out and they have definitely had a polarized effect on businesses, on people, and particularly a younger generation of workforce. We're talking about having a pronounced effect on, you know, anywhere between, you know, maybe about 10 to 40% of urban demographics of young men who are being impacted by these type of storytellers and these type of narratives. And that's where I think this is a bit of a dark side of branding. A lot of this is viral guerrilla tactic. A lot of it is viral guerrilla tactic. Do you really think that a lot of these influencers that you see their videos, I'm sure, Ben, you've seen some of these videos on TikTok.
Yeah.
I've seen them on Instagram. So, you know, do you really feel that everything that's being said in that moment for the sake of that impact of the video is truly the opinion of that person's? It's not. It's very akin to how a politician can get up on stage and say a lot of things to the immediate audience in front of him in that particular rally. And you know, he or she would actually definitely gerrymander and definitely have a certain element of showmanship in how he positions the content to that particular audience. And that's fundamentally politics to a certain extent, right? Unfortunately, that's where the misnomers of, excuse me, politics come into the picture. But that's very much so the social media game. That's very much so the branding game today. And that's why I'm saying it is unfortunate and fortunate, because if you know how to pull off these guerrilla tactics, you know how to create content that really creates buzz and has a certain viral coefficient to it, you can really garner a lot of attention and you can monetize that attention, right? Now, the question is, are you using that tactic or using those techniques for a positive outcome or are you using it for notoriety? You know what I mean? It really is down to the person. So when you brought up this point about how do you brand your CEO? How do you brand your CMO, right? That's a really valid point. How do you do that? And the answer to that question is down to the person. The person, as long as they're authentic about their own stories and they're more so about sharing information that isn't self-promotional, but it actually is more geared towards sharing something that has impact and value for the audience, I kind of feel like you have to go to a moment in time in your influence building online where you will get just 3 likes. You will just get like 10 people, yep, you know, viewing your video. That's completely normal. I think people like Gary Vee went through that. And Gary Vee is one of the most social, as far as social media is concerned, one of the most visible people on social media today, right? But even him and people like, you know, Jay Shetty, people like, you know, let's talk about Andrew Tate, all of these people did not start out with like, you know, a million people liking their exactly post the day they dropped a post, yep, yep, right? It doesn't work that way. It's just something that business leaders have to understand. That's just how it is, bro.
Okay. No, and just to wrap up the conversation, because I mean, one thing I love about how you communicate, AJ, is that you keep everything so short and sync. And it's a key takeaway that someone can take when they're having their takeaway maca and then just listening to this and trying to implement it in their own brand. But maybe just one story that you work, because I know you also work with, you also run a creative, you own a few creative agencies. And, you know, like your people, not right, necessarily you on a day-to-day basis, maybe a success story that you work with someone or a brand. I mean, if you want to mention their name, great. If you don't want to, totally respect the privacy. But you took their brand from almost invisible, like an untagged right brand, to a very relevant brand to the people of the world.
I don't mean to boast, but there's so many in different capacities that we worked with over the years.
Which one is the one that you, which one is the one that sticks out in your head and you tell to someone at a dinner party and said, you know, maybe a close friend and said, now,
let's step away from a corporate narrative for a second. I mean, I do have, yes, there are a lot of businesses that I've worked with and I've coached and consulted for them, but those are typically a lot more of the very predictable case studies about how I would tell you this is what I did. And then, you know, there was this sort of ROI that was tracked to what I did. And I really don't want to do that. I don't want to bore the audience with that type of narrative. What I would rather do is talk about how I have come across probably about, there are 2 individuals right now that stick out in my mind. And for the sake of their privacy,
cool,
I'm not going to mention their names right now, but they're very active on LinkedIn. They're very active on LinkedIn. One of them was an image consultant. The other was a CEO of a CEO of a C-level company who left, nice, and started their own consultancy, right? And had quite a lot of traction in the market. Was already pretty well known for the C-level position that he held. And then the image consultant, she was someone who was just starting out her image consultancy, and she was really intrigued by how LinkedIn is very organically rich. It allows people to expand their thought leadership. So on both occasions, I sat down with them and I explained what are the sort of techniques that they would need to look at, just not just externally, but also intrinsically in their own mind to become more effective in articulating their thoughts on LinkedIn. And I think with the image consultant, it's safe to say that she's gone on to win awards for her communication skills. She is someone who is actually quite well known on LinkedIn now. She posts a lot of content. In fact, she's a lot more active on LinkedIn than I am today. She's doing a lot more content creation. I bump into her posts all the time. She's doing very well. And I see a lot of, when I see her content copy, her text writing, copywriting, and I see everything, I kind of see that how a lot of the conversations that we've had, I'm sure she had conversations with other people as well that time. I'm not taking full credit for it, but I'm saying definitely, I think a lot of the techniques she's using, I see a lot of what I discussed with her being used there, right? The same applies to the CEO. I mean, he already had a very good profile, but one of the things that I noticed with him was that he was able to step out of his own comfort zone. He was generally someone who was an introvert, and he stepped out of his own comfort zone and he came out and somewhat conditioned himself to be a lot more socially, you know, adept on LinkedIn. And I think that translated to Instagram, it translated to YouTube. So he went on to do web series and all of that. And I think a lot of that comes from the storyteller mindset. And I have something called the storytelling model canvas. It's sort of like a variation of the business model canvas, if you've seen it. It's like a BMC, and then there's a variation that with a group of subject matter experts in Australia, we came up with the SMC. And that was very many years ago. In fact, it's almost biblical for any storytelling, business storytelling and brand storytelling workshops that I do, speaking sessions, I always bring up and talk about how the SMC can tremendously add to the bottom line of your business, because everyone's talking about, when it comes to business, they're only focused on making sure they maximize the bottom line, right? But how do you maximize that bottom line? By humanizing your business and people being able to actually connect with you. That's more important than ever for solopreneurs today. So yes, it applies to corporates, but it applies even more to founders who are in a startup space where they're bootstrapping. You know, they need to stand out from the competition, right? And they need to do it fast. So how can they do that? They can do that through business storytelling techniques. They can do that through viral content marketing. They can do that from understanding fundamentally that social media and content creation is not about self-promotion. It's about actually empowering others through your content. And that's why they trust you with their business. In the future, someone giving you a check with money on it and actually giving you an opportunity to work with them is fundamentally because of the efforts you took today to build thought leadership, which in turn builds trust with your audience. And that's where opportunities come from. That's how business will close, right? So I'm sorry, no, I tried to kind of give you the whole equation in like a breakdown.
That's really good. And that leads me to my final question. And I challenge you to do it in two sentences. Because I don't want you to give our audience advice, I want you to give our audience a challenge, or something to think about, because it's already March,
right?
2023. Okay, so the year has just started. Right. Chinese New Year is over. Fasting month is around the corner, but you know, we will still keep working and all of the above. And it's a new day.
Right.
Because COVID is part of the windscreen wiper, if you know what I mean. Okay, it's not in the past. I wish it was in the past, but you know, but it is part of how we live.
Right.
So basically, God forbid, you know, we might go to, you know, full lockdown again, God forbid. But how should, fingers crossed, exactly, I don't want to go there. But how should one, be it a business or a individual working for a big company and they want to keep their visibility up, what kind of things should they think about? Maybe you can just give us 2 points. Think about in terms of trying to create those consistent stories so that they're always top of mind and never, ever forgettable.
Very good question, Ben. Very good question. But again, a question that limited...
Okay, four or five. So, okay, I give you extension, like a good client. Like a good client.
I'm going to go. There is a very easy way to simplify this. Number one, have a documentative mindset as opposed to a glamorization mindset. Keep it very, very real. So the experiences that you've had in a day, try your level best, yes, to understand that you need to make that content viral. That's correct. You know, I would be lying to you if I said that an influencer online doesn't position the best version of themselves forward. That's a complete lie. Anybody who tells you that and talks about full vulnerability and, you know, pure authenticity and all that,
let's be honest, that's bullshit, right?
And let's be honest, I mean, fundamentally, all the people that we look up to online right now as influencers, they certainly didn't do it through pure just being 100%, you know, always in your face. There was a lot of effort put into creating content that had impact. There's choreography that goes into it, content writing, storytelling, all of that goes into it for them to create an actual impact of in a particular video, in a particular piece of content they put out there. So let's, number one, talk about, yes, you need to have a documented mindset. Yes, you can talk about positioning content in the best foot forward type of manner. But as long as you have that mindset that I'm not going to be making things up to post, but I'm going to be documenting things that are happening in my daily life, right? So what I do to prove this point is I actually have my phone with voice notes at all time, right? And so what I do is I usually, when I have an, when I have an epiphany or I have an experience in the day, what I do, I record myself talking about that experience. So I just talk about that experience. I don't glamorize it. I don't say that, oh, you know, if I received a check for 10,000 ringgit, I then ended up saying in the story that I received one for 10 million ringgit. No, I don't do that. You know, I say it like it is. That's what happened. But I try to take away through my own voice, I try to take away the key takeaways from that experience, from that particular meeting, from that particular incident, from that particular dinner that I went to or that trip that I took. So the idea is to constantly document and try to create a repository where you can document it and go back and reflect upon it. Richard Branson used to do it with a notepad. I do it with voice notes on my iPhone. You might do it with, you know, writing flashcards on and sticking it on your wall. Everyone has a different way of doing it. But my point is, do it. You know what I mean? Like document stories worth keeping in your mind on a piece of paper, on a voice note. Do that, number one. Number two, the most important thing is do not allow reaction of the audience to stop you from content creation. That's number two. That's the most important thing. Irrespective of what happens, whether you got one like or you got 1 million likes, continue to experiment with the same documented mindset that I talked about in point number one, and continue to be consistent in posting content. Consistent could mean different for you. Consistent could mean 3 times a week for you. It could mean 2 times a week for me. It doesn't matter. I'm not telling anybody in this audience that you need to post every day twice. I don't believe in that mentality. I believe that whatever comes to you that you feel is worth sharing and has impact and value to the audience, you are going to make an effort to A, document it, and B, create content that's engaging with it and post it up as consistently as you can. I think with these 2 points, you need to just start. Don't think, just do. Just go and start, right? Now, this applies to a CEO. It applies to you. It applies to me. It doesn't matter who we are, where we are. Anybody can take these 2 points and do it. It's actually free. It doesn't even cost you money.
Just do it. So there you go, everyone. I mean, it's really funny what AJ, what you were saying in terms of voice notes. I send my wife notes on WhatsApp and then she'll always reply to me, huh? What's this? I said, look, just remind me about to actually put a presentation or carve up a document about this. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, that's the way. Yeah, because with pen and paper, some of us are not pen and paper people anymore because of what the new era is. Look, everyone.
Tell me, I've got 2 left hands.
That's why you're smart, dude. So anyway, AJ, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a great, great conversation. We could have gone on and on, but kudos to you. And I'll send you a pizza that you really made everything in sync. So to everyone at Great People TV, thanks for watching us as usual. Please like our social media platforms. And if you do want to get in touch with me for my event management or MC or moderate services for events, just go to greatpeopletv.my on Instagram. Thank you,
sir. Ben is the man.
Yes, thank you, sir. Come to my LinkedIn as well. And what's this? You can just have a chat with me. He said, Ben, you know, are you free on this date? How much do you charge? And we can take the conversation from there. And if you really, really like this conversation, I can throw in a special price for our good friend, Dr. AJ, because he is absolutely fantastic when it comes to engagement, training. And he's not one of those, I mean, no disrespect, he's not one of those fluffy presenters. He's got a great voice. He comes in, he actually, you know, shows you how everything is done in a very technical way. So, and you leave the room like, okay, this is how it's done. So very, very few, not many people can do that.
Seriously. Thank you, bro.
So I'm not just trying to be sweet and whatever. This is actual fact. If not, I wouldn't invite you on the show. Look, AJ, you take care, man. I know you've got a meeting with a lot of people in the next 10 minutes. So, yeah, go ahead to the meeting. Thanks, everyone, for watching Great People TV.
Thank you,
man. Catch you next episode.
Thank you.